Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow. Wherever you are, tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to What Culture Gaming. I'm Scott, joined by Josh.
Hello, Scott.
Josh, my friend, we stayed up super late, 10 p.m. last night to watch the Nintendo Direct, the latest showcase, the mainline Direct showcase that Nintendo haven't done one of for about 530 days, I think was what
the number was. Wow, I did not know it was that long.
Lots of little mini ones, and they addressed at the start of it that they haven't done a proper Direct in a while. So obviously going into it, I mean, about 500,000 people were watching it. I think at one point it peaked over 1 million. Either way, yeah. It was a big old deal. And a lot of people thought, you know, there'll be some cool stuff there. And it's not that there wasn't any cool stuff there, but the general sentiment during and especially after from across the board seems to be massive amounts of disappointment.
Yeah, I mean, I've been going into the previous, you know, mini directs from Nintendo not expecting much, but I kind of fell into the trap of getting my hopes up a little bit with this, because like you said, this was a proper big one. You know, there was over 1 million people tuned in, at least on the stream I was watching, and I thought maybe they're going to have some news. Maybe there'll be some Breath of the Wild 2 news, maybe some Metroid news, you know, maybe they'll have some big announcements. And while there were a few interesting things that I am personally looking forward to, it was just kind of like a bit deflating, especially because we've had like a pretty much a year of kind of nothing from Nintendo for the Switch. Like, there haven't been a few games, but there hasn't been the kind of second wave push that I expected there to be at this point in the console's life cycle. And overall, I think the general sentiment is just kind of like, is that all you got? Is that really all you got, you know?
I think they must be feeling like the effect of 2020 a bit more than they're letting on. Like, one of the key parts that a lot of people are focusing on is when Eiji Onuma came out. He's the producer on Breath of the Wild, longtime Zelda creative. And he opened his speech, it cut to him, and he was like, oh, it literally said something like, you're probably thinking that with me on the screen, it's going to be Breath of the Wild too, but it's not. A lot of us are like, well, why would you even say that, really? But I get their honesty, and I kind of appreciate it. And that segued into Skyward Sword being put into HD. Obviously, it's a Wii U game. That game was initially made for motion controls. And it's been sort of like up in the air as to how they were going to do it on Switch. The solution is that they're going to map the motion controls to the right stick. What do you think of that whole thing? Did Skyward Sword get you? To me, like, I mean, I love Zelda, but it's such an old school looking playing Zelda compared to where they went in Breath of the Wild. And they even know that too, because they had a whole segment being like, don't worry, guys, you've got the cloth, and it's like, you didn't climb the walls, and like, you know, we started these things in this game, and don't worry, like, it's totally going to be, you know, if you like Breath of the Wild, it's totally going to be for you.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, it felt like, well, like you said there, it felt like an ad directly for me, because, you know, I grew up not having Nintendo consoles, and my first Zelda was Breath of the Wild. Right. So to have them coming out and being like, look, if you like Breath of the Wild, you'll probably like this one. It was like some dude down the market, like, trying to sell you something, you know, that you probably don't really need, but they're trying to, like, big it up with some showmanship. But genuinely, I am looking forward to Skyward Sword. Like I said, I haven't played the original. I thought it looked cool how they have adapted it to the Switch. Obviously, you can still use the motion controls if it's docked, but you can play it handheld too. I think I will play it with the motion controls. It looks a bit more satisfying than using the stick to swipe and stuff. But I'm personally excited for it. But I can imagine if you've already played Skyward Sword, or if you were looking forward to a port of a different Zelda game rather than this one, then you might be, you know, perhaps justifiably so, a bit disappointed that that's the only Zelda announcement we got.
Yeah, so one of the biggest things about this Direct is that, like, you know, they said it's going to be 50 minutes long, and it was. It was, like, a sizable one. I think one of the longest ones that they've done so far. It is also Zelda's 35th anniversary this year, which they didn't mention at all. And maybe that's because all the Eiji Inuma segment ended with him saying, hey, we think we'll have more information for you later this year.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, Breath of the Wild was meant to be out this year. So Breath of the Wild 2 was meant to be out this year. So, like, at the minute, we're just sort of going, like, well, maybe you'll have an update, like a sort of a trailer for an update that might come in 2021, mm-hmm. or maybe you just push everything back. But yeah, they didn't mention the 35th anniversary stuff. The only game that we got was Skyward Sword HD, which looks fine. I mean, obviously Skyward Sword has a reputation as being arguably the worst Zelda of them all, even though it is a prequel. It is sort of, it cements a lot of stuff canon-wise that was always up in the air. But because they didn't mention the 35th anniversary thing, since the Direct has gone up, there has been comments from VGC and Eurogamer saying, don't worry, Wind Waker and Twilight Princess are also both coming to the Switch, but it was just bizarre that they weren't part of the Direct. And it also makes you wonder if they're just going to do the Mario 35th anniversary style thing of just bundling those games together, just as the kind of pretty much as they were, rather than sort of touch them up. Because Twilight Princess and Skyward Sword both have massively long tutorials. They take a long time before you're like in the formula of Zelda, before it sort of starts to click, which was obviously something the Breath of the Wild kind of upended. It's worth throwing in as well that in terms of like big games, Splatoon 3, I'm pretty like psyched to see that weird opening single player thing. Where it's like the apocalypse and there's an upside down Eiffel Tower and one of the squid kids is like Mad Max now. But what did you think of that stuff? Because I think I'm a bigger Splatoon fan than you, but did that grab you?
You are, but it grabbed me, but kind of in the wrong way. It kind of grabbed me by my ankles or whatever, or just a place you're not supposed to be grabbed. No. Because when it first like started up and the trailer was like, you know, it almost hinted at this single player direction, maybe even a story driven direction. Mm. I thought, this is cool. This is something I didn't expect. You know, the trailer was well directed. Mm. I suddenly realized that I have a lot of reverence for the Splatoon world and the Splatoon characters.
I love the Squid Kids so much, dude.
Yeah, you love the Squid Kids. They're brilliant. They're kids and also squids, you know what I mean? But I thought they were going down perhaps a different direction. Maybe it was going to be a spin-off, you know, maybe it was going to be a completely different style of game than what Splatoon is. So when it was just Splatoon 3, I was like, that's cool, because Splatoon is good, but also I actually kind of would have liked maybe this weird spin-off, maybe this strange adaptation where you have the characters and you do something completely different.
Josh Brown, I have news for you. They pretty much did a single-player expansion for Splatoon 2. It's just that they did it months and months later, and it was just like, obviously everybody plays Splatoon for the multiplayer, the whole ketchup versus mayo, Team Mayo. And I think that like when they did do their single-player thing, a lot of people went, oh, what the hell is that? And it is a weird like arena-based thing, but that was their attempt at a single-player, and I thought that was going to be the bridge. And then Splatoon 3 would be a more single-player-focused thing.
Yeah.
And had like a weird slow-burn intro. One of the kids is arriving back into the town, and it's like there's flashes of what that place is going to look like when you rebuild it, or whatever the hell the story is going to be for Splatoon 3.
Yeah.
The other thing that got a few people talking was Mario Golf, which there hasn't been a mainline Mario Golf game since 2003, which is weird because it feels like, I think it's because the sheer amount of Mario games that Nintendo put out, it feels like he's everywhere at once. But yeah, there hasn't been a Mario Golf game since 2003 on the GameCube. Not that I can think what that one was called, Mushroom Course or something. And did that get you? Because I was like, I didn't really like Mario Tennis Aces. Like, I sort of, I like the idea of this stuff. The whole running around fighting each other, get into the hole, that's a nice idea. But I think that was one of the only sort of like fan-pleasing moments that was in there.
Yeah, I mean, like, yeah, I've no kind of affinity for Mario Golf. Can't say I'm a huge Mario Golf fan. But at the same time, I was like, this is cool. I'll probably never, ever buy it. But should we ever go back to the office and have lunchtimes together? I can imagine sinking a lot of time playing some Mario Golf or stealing someone else's Switch to play it. You know what I mean? Like, it looked really fun. And I imagine people who, you know, have been waiting for another Mario Golf game are going to be absolutely buzzing by that announcement. I saw it all over Twitter anyway. It was memed to death afterwards.
Yeah. My thing watching it was, I mean, Bowser in like full golf getup. Anything with Bowser just gets me, to be honest. But their idea of like sort of hybridizing like standard Mario gameplay, like you're sprinting, you're platforming, you're trying to get to the next hole, fighting each other and then doing the next shot. That's cool. There was also Star Wars Hunters from Zynga, which like was barely anything in terms of the reveal, but I guess like is another non-EA Star Wars game, so those things are just going to keep coming. But that game is also on iOS and Android. It's a, I wrote down exactly, they're calling it a free-to-play squad-based arena combat game. Mm. So does that get you going?
Yeah, I mean, sure. I mean, the most interesting part of that was I was looking for whether or not it was going to be EA, because I know they do have, well, there is the rumor that they have a small-scale Star Wars shooter in development, and I was thinking, is this it? No, it doesn't seem like it is, but it's cool. I like that Lucasfilm Games is, you know, hitting the ground running with a bunch of different Star Wars titles now that aren't out by EA, and because it is free-to-play, I'll probably give it a go, because it's Star Wars, and it looked cute, I suppose, is a weird kind of descriptor for it, but yeah, sure, man. Like, I'm here.
I feel like a lot of companies are chasing the Fortnite dollar.
Yeah,
some
totally.
More than others, but that was the vibe I got from that, was like, let's take Star Wars characters that you know and love, and because it's on mobile as well, it's going to be a microtransaction city.
Yeah,
and it was
probably.
Just like, yeah, we're just going to mash them all together. You fight a few dudes, and then you play someone else. And, oh, don't you want to unlock the extra deluxe version of the Stormtrooper? We've been there, you know, and I think maybe it'll play brilliant, but because it's the combo of Zynga with Star Wars, I don't know. The other thing in terms of the ugh pile was the game whose name I've completely forgot and can't Google right now, but it was the EA thing, which was like, it's greenlit by EA's Originals program, so it was that dodgeball game where it showed like a Rainbow Six looking soldier, an orc looking dude, and a woman in armor with like the white hair, which that orc is bang on the one from Warcraft, or is bang on the one from Raid Shadow Legends. Like, I think it was going to be some, you know, amalgamation thing, but it's not. It's called something like Team City Blowout, you know, it's one of them. And I did think that the actual mechanic of just starting dudes with dodgeballs looked cool, but again, Fortnite chasing dollar, like, it wasn't like, there was a few things that stood out in that Nintendo Direct that were just sort of, here's your arbitrary turn-based RPG, here's your arbitrary Fortnite game. I think that kind of can contribute to the general feeling of like, okay, like, you know, when you're watching one of these shows and it's like, ah, this is fine, but what else you got? And then that sort of feeling just kept going and going until it didn't really sort of peak.
That's it. I think the best way to describe a lot of these game announcements is that they weren't like offensive in and of themselves, but every single time something like this dodgeball game came on screen, or even some of the, you know, turn-based RPGs like you mentioned, I was kind of thinking, oh, it's another one of those. We've had one of these already, perhaps.
Yeah,
maybe even in
this
stream so far. Yeah, this box has been ticked. Like, where's something new or maybe a bit different or unexpected? I think that's the key thing of, even though there were a lot of titles that we obviously didn't know about, none of them necessarily felt unexpected in terms of their mechanics or their design or their kind of, you know, intent of what they're trying to be. They all felt familiar in a bit too much of a safe way, I guess.
I'd say I will mention, because I did laugh, and actually it's very quickly worth mentioning, No More Heroes got a release date of August 27th. That's another whole thing. We haven't got that much time to sort of break this down, but they said beforehand that all of this stuff was going to be focused on the first half of 2021.
Yeah, and then
most of it was, but then they still had stuff that was scheduled for 2022, or things like No More Heroes, which is coming out in August. So it's like, you could have just done an update on Breath of the Wild 2, Metroid Prime 4, Bayonetta 3. The big titles that we know are coming. But I thought they were going to just sort of sweep all of that under, well, you know, it's not valid because we're doing the first half of the year. But then they just sort of abandoned that halfway through anyway and just was like, well, Splatoon 3, I guess.
That was the kind of weird thing about Splatoon 3, because when it came up 2022, I was kind of like, oh, this is like your one extra thing. It would have been cool if it was for 2021, but now it kind of makes me wonder why Breath of the Wild didn't have, you know, at least something to say. If these aren't just games from the first half and you are willing to show and tease other games, then why does this make the cut and why does this not make the cut? It just it raised more questions than it should have, Scott. And I was kind of like, you it's almost like they knew that they didn't have enough, you know, in terms of quality or strength or appeal to only do a show about the first half of 2021. So they needed to throw in something else, you know, they needed to have that Splatoon 3 thing at the end that kind of extended it beyond that, because that's the final stinger that will get, you know, thumbnails and headlines and stuff.
Yeah, true. I mean, I like the variety of titles that were there, but it did feel like they were struggling a bit. Like, just when it was like Legend of Mana remake, which the whole pixel smoothing art look just looked horrible, stuff like that. We did, just for a laugh, I remember when they the Octopath Traveler sequel, which is called Project Triangle Strategy, which is probably the best name in gaming history, to be honest.
Maybe
just brilliant. I mean, yeah, they're doing like a Final Fantasy Tactics sort of follow-on to Octopath, where Octopath was like channeling 90s RPGs. This is kind of channeling their spin-offs to try and do like a turn-based strategy type thing. But Project Triangle Strategy is a working title. I just loved that at the end of that they were like, we're going to do a feedback survey, and it's like, their first question will be, should we keep this name? And it's like, no, you should do anything else. Quick closing thoughts on the whole thing, JP.
Yeah, like, it's just, I feel because we've been so starved for, you know, big gaming announcements for a little while now, and because this was the big Nintendo Direct for a while, expectations were high, and while I don't think we got any kind of games that looked bad, or the show itself was necessarily awful, it did feel certainly disappointing and deflating, and I did leave it kind of wondering, oh, is that it? I wasn't actively, like, annoyed or, you know, angry at Nintendo and stuff. It just kind of is carrying on this... real drought of games and announcements coming from Nintendo, especially. I mean, you know, Microsoft and Sony are also kind of falling into that trap now, but I feel like me personally, someone who has a Switch, who wants to love the Switch, the games that I'm looking forward to are all like ports. They're all Skyward Sword HD or the Mario 3D All-Stars, which according to a lot of people, isn't even the best versions of those games anyway. So it's kind of like, I want to play more Switch, man, and I want more games. And there's a lot of stuff here that's kind of piqued my interest, but nothing that I wanted to immediately go out and, like, pre-order or hunt down more information about. There was just a lot of nice stuff.
Yeah, in so many ways, it was Nintendo AF in regards to them just sort of falling back and going, we're Nintendo, you're going to love us anyway. Yeah. And I think that, like, you know, they have the whole Mario 35th anniversary thing from last year. That's timed exclusive. The timed sales window runs out in March. Yeah. So I guess they were kind of, they don't want to remind people of that. So they're kind of going to wait. And then assumedly when that's up, maybe that'll be replaced by the Wind Waker Twilight Princess thing. If that does become true. But yeah, overall, let us know what you think down in the comments below of the first Nintendo Direct in 500 and whatever it was days. For now, I've been Scott from WhatCulture.com.
I've been Josh from WhatCulture.com.
And we'll catch you next time. Bye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.